What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
There you are. Morning, you're right. I really do hope you are. I really hope you are. The glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, thank you for joining me. And of the best people on earth to be tuning into this live. What are you going to do? Watch Mike Graham? No thanks. Jeremy Kyle? Get real. You want based breakfast takes? It's the place to be. Okay, it's just ticked past 8 in the AM British summer time on the 23rd of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Cry God for Harry, England and St. George! St. George's Day. Today is the Feast of St. George. He that outlives this day and comes safe home shall stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him at the name of St. George. Of course, I'm mashing up the St. Crispin's Day speech there, deliberately, for lulls. St. George's Day, St. George's Day. It's not mentioned on the on this day in history page we do at the end of the show. I'll talk about it a bit now. Basically, barely mentioned on any of the, well, it's not mentioned on any of the front pages. There's like, I think I saw one thing in The Sun and one thing in The Express. Scroll down a bit, you find one thing about St. George's Day. They basically ignore it. Because all the papers are subversive nonsense that hate us, hate natives, hate England. Because of their owners and editors, who they are, and what's in their hearts. I'll talk about it, though. I'll talk about it. St. George's Day. St. George the Martyr. Oh, he's Turkish, don't you know? All the leftist wokies say, he's Turkish, lol. You venerate and revere a Turk, lol. No. Almost certainly a Romanized Greek that happens to be from Cappadocia. A bit different. Oh, you can't venerate foreign people. Oh, you can't venerate the Prophet Muhammad then, can you? Or Jesus himself then. That argument. St. George was Turkish. Lol, eat that, patriots. Eat that, ethnats. You venerate a Turk. Checkmate. So dumb. So ridiculous. Oh, he's a Turk, didn't you know? Therefore, you have to have open borders. You can't have a country anymore. You must accept infinity Somalians into your country because St. George was Turkish. Even though Turkey didn't exist, he wasn't Turkish. He was a Romanized Greek from Cappadocia. Bit different. Not that it matters. Not that it matters. He was a Roman soldier. Probably in the Praetorian Guard. We're talking the very, very early, what is it? The very, very early 4th century? It's the age of Diocletian, isn't it? I've got content all about Diocletian. The generation before Constantine the Great. Diocletian, fascinating, absolutely fascinating Roman emperor, one of the most pivotal Roman emperors. The Tetrarchy, his story, anyone know this? Do you know about this? You heard about this? You seen this? The Roman Empire had gone through such tumultuous times that Diocletian decided he really needed four emperors. It was so massive now, it's too difficult for one emperor to control it all. You needed four emperors, two senior Augustan emperors, and then two junior Caesars. Four emperors. The tetrarchy. The rule of four. Absolutely fascinating. Diocletian. Unbelievable human. Career and life. Diocletian. Really, really unbelievable. Sort of up there with Augustus or Hadrian or something. Scarcely believable life and career. Events he lived through. In the end, resigned as well. That's extremely rare, isn't it, in history? Unbelievably rare. Just abdicated and resigned near the end of his life because he was just had enough of it. Hardly ever that happens. What, Philip II of Spain did that, didn't it? One of the old popes, that Ratzinger, what was his name? One of the popes not long ago did it. Very, very, very rare. He just wanted to tend his garden. He was done with politics. After reworking the entire Roman world. Anyway, one of the things he did was a Christian persecution. And we're in the generation before Constantine the Great, so it was still completely, fully pagan Rome. And Christianity was getting too big for its boots, in Diocletian's mind. He did some various persecutions. One of his soldiers in the Praetorian Guard, St. George the Martyr, was asked one way or another to renounce his faith and wouldn't, so he was put to death. There you go. Oh, but it's Turkish. Therefore, in the 2020s, you must accept infinity Bangladeshis into England. What? What? Okay, sure. All right, should we move on from that? What's in the media today? What's on the front pages of the... what's Fleet Street going with? What's that cabal of evil editors lying to you about by omission this morning? Trying to pretend it isn't or isn't important. Let's get into it. PM isolated and job concerns deepen. I think that's job's concerns for him. The Prime Minister's job, I think. Yeah. So it's another Starmer day a bit. Well, we had Prime Minister's questions yesterday, so they haven't found something better, even though there's a fair bit going on in the Straits of Hormuz and with Trump and Iran and everything. But Fleet Street decided they're going with just this again. So The Guardian, Guardian. So gross. Isn't it? So revolting. Okay. It says, PM isolated as cabinet divisions emerge over Manderson scandal. Ministers warn against alienating civil servants after Robbins' dismissal. Oh no, we can't alienate civil servants. In Bose Britain, sort of go to war with Westminster, with Whitehall. Sort of go to war with them. Clear a lot of it out. Make whole new departments. Staff them with people that are patriots and nativists. Start closing down, start winding down and closing down old departments that are just have been too subverted. Remember, you might remember there was one time, I think it was Preeti Patel at the Home Office. I think it was Preeti Patel. Managed to sort of force out one of the permanent secretaries. Just like put so much pressure on him for so long that he ended up just retiring early. And there was this like big hoo-ha about that, big furore about that. Like, oh, you can't do that. The permanent secretaries in Whitehall, you can't bully them. You can't order them around. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bully them into oblivion. Clear them out. Fire them. Pass new laws so you can get rid of them. So we can control our country. Take our country back. Civil servants. Give me a break. Wouldn't shed a single tear for a single civil servant. They're the ones running this country into the ground. Oh, poor Ollie Robbins. Yeah, right. Ollie Robbins did everything he could to thwart Brexit. Poor Ollie Robb. Won't anyone think of the career civil servants? No, we're done with that. The idea that Preeti Patel was in some sort of hot water with the mainstream media for getting rid one way or another of one of the permanent secretaries. No, that would be one tiny drop of what I would do. That'd be 1%, half of 1% of what I would do. If the civil service don't bend to the government 100%, 100%, they're gone. I'll turn the world upside down if it was up to me. The idea that the government will have a policy and the civil service just actively work against it, fight against it. Remember a story a few months ago, there was something, I think it was in the Ministry of Defence, something or other. The government wanted to do something or other, some policy. And they just wouldn't do it. The civil service were like, no, we don't like that. We think that's racist or something. So we're just not doing it. No. Oh, no. Not in Bowes Britain. That's not how that works. No, I'll turn the world upside down off the back of that. You're there to implement government policy. Nothing else. Nothing else. I don't care what the politics of the civil service are. If they don't like it, they'll get cleared out. Get removed. Government should dominate the civil service 100%. Oh, won't you think of the poor bullied civil servants? No, I won't. No, I don't care. They're there to be bullied, if anything. They wouldn't be bullied if they just do as they were told. Anyway, calm down a little bit, Bo. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know, right? With all that said, in this case, Ollie Robbins has almost certainly not really done anything wrong, and Keir Starmer is completely in the wrong and being a douchebag and lying. All right. Oh, yeah, right. PM isolated. He's isolated. Seems like lots of people in the cabinet even are just turning against him. The party are lining up, aren't they? They're just waiting for the 7th of May. I read a long article this morning, really quite long article, all about what insiders are saying. One Labour backbencher says this. One unnamed Labour peer says that. On and on and on. Friends of Wes Streeting say da-da-da-da-da. Right? They're all lining up. They're all just waiting for the 7th of May when Labour get absolutely bodied in the local elections. And then who knows what. A lot of people saying Angela Rayner. Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird. But apparently a lot of people, insiders, the Parliamentary Labour Party, all the MPs, not the wider party, all the members, but just the actual MPs. A lot of them apparently not really behind Ange, the Fridge. They think she can't win an election. I mean, Labour won't win the next general election, whatever happens, almost certainly. I mean, 2.5-3 years is a ways to go yet. However, it's so deeply unpopular. And running this country, speed running it over the edge of a cliff. And they'll almost certainly lose the next election, whoever they pick. Even a lot of the backbenchers, the Parliamentary Labour Party, feel like the Fridge won't be able to win an election. She's not strong and charismatic enough, hasn't got a good enough vision and isn't likeable enough and all those things. The X factor, that means you win elections. That's one thing about Tony Blair. Call him the Lord of Darkness or whatever. Blame him for this country being largely destroyed, which I do. But back in the day, during his time, he was an election winner, right? What, he won 3 in a row? Or was it 4? 97, 2001 and 2006. Anyway, there's that certain something, isn't there, which means you play well with the country at large. Angela Rayner hasn't really got that, has she? She's a bit dumb and obnoxious. A bit dumb sounding, like her tongue's a bit too big for her mouth. Like Lisa Nandy's got that. Doesn't say anything that's either sort of pithy and witty or deep and profound. She doesn't do either of those things. So, you know, like Boris wasn't particularly profound and a towering intellect, but he was quick and said things that were sometimes funny and witty. Pithy, right? And then you've got Gordon Brown, who never won an election for himself, but not funny, not pithy, not witty, but sort of undeniably deeply ensconced in the world of policy. You know, was very, very serious. You ever want someone that's like a charismatic clown, like Boris, or deeply, deeply serious, like Gordon Brown, or that magic that Tony Blair had? David Cameron had a little bit of it, right? David Cameron had a little bit of that Blair magic. Who's got that in Labour now? Who? Angela Rayner? Not really. Yvette Cooper? Ed Balls' wife? She's just a bit boring and gross, isn't she? She's a bit of a nothing. She's not inspiring, is she, Yvette Cooper? Does she inspire you? David Lammy, please. Please. West Streeting. I mean, got a bit of that squeaky clean Teflon thing to him. But do people really like him? Do people gravitate towards West Streeting? Again, does he inspire you to make a better country? West Streeting. Seems like a career politician. Nothing more than that. Like, is there a fire in your belly to fight for the future that West Streeting has envisioned for Britain? No. Come on. Shabana Mahmood, no thanks. No thanks. Ed Miliband, we've had Ed Miliband. Had him. He was the leader of the Labour Party for a few years. Stabbed his own brother, David Miliband, in the back to get that job. Ended his own brother's career, who was a better politician than Ed Miliband. And Ed Miliband has gone before the public before to try and win an election and was roundly rejected because he's, at a glance, a complete freak. Isn't he? His movements and mannerisms and physiognomy and just everything about him just screams freakazoid. A weird man. A weirdo. People don't want that in their leader, really. I'm afraid. Quite often it does come down to what you look like, right? It does really, really help if you're good looking. It does really, really hinder you if you're really, really ugly. I'm afraid. Human psychology. Loads and loads of normies don't look much past what you look like. There'll be millions of voters that kind of just size you up on what you look like. They're like, no, he's weird and ugly. No, I don't like it. And it's mad, isn't it? It's mad. Don't you want to read about the policies? Don't you want to know what his worldview is and what his vision for the country is? No? No, you just think he's a bit weird looking, so you won't vote for him. Oh, okay. And that guy's more handsome. Like David Cameron is like more normal looking. So I'll vote for him instead. Right, it goes. It's crazy, but that's how millions of people do it. Could it be more low resolution? Could it be more just sort of disappointing that that's how things work sometimes a bit? Well, there you go. Ed Miliband doesn't deserve it anyway. Ed Miliband's had his shot. The country had a quick look at Ed Miliband. Nah, don't like it. Gross. Weirdo. And, of course, his politics are insane. So, again, who is there, really? Who is there on the Labour front bench who could, realistically step in? Well, there is one, Mr. Andy Burnham, but, of course, he isn't on the Labour front bench, is he? He's currently the Mayor of Manchester. So, in other words, not an MP, not a Member of Parliament. And I think, technically, legally, you don't have to be a Member of Parliament. Like you can be the leader of a party and not in Parliament. Like Dave Poulden, real name. Zach Polansky, real name Dave Poulden. He's not an MP, right? He's the leader of the Green Party. The Green Party's got a small number of MPs. But he's the leader, but yet not an MP himself. So, okay, that can happen. Could Andy Burnham become the leader of the Labour Party and yet not be an MP? I think... Technically, by the letter of the law, that's that's possible, but in reality, that's just not, in real, real reality, in workable practice, that's not okay. He's going to need to be an MP. To be the Prime Minister, you're going to need to be in Parliament, or at the very least, be in the Lords. Like in the past, we haven't had it for years. I mean, what, a century or more? You can be the Prime Minister and be a Lord in the Lords, right? That's sort of workable. But to not be an MP or a Lord at all, he really needs to be an MP. So apparently the Labour Party, even the broader, all the membership, would be happy to some degree with Andy Burnham, because he's sort of, people in the centre of the party and people on the left of the party both sort of can just about stomach him, get along with him. He's sort of a unifying figure a little bit within the Labour Party. But do you remember what happened with Gaunton and Denton? Do you remember that? The idea, the whole point of that, if you recall, was that a Labour MP would stand down in a very, very safe Labour seat. They would stand down, make up something about, oh, they've got poor health, I'm already disgraced anyway, and I've got poor health, I want to spend more time with my family, and there'll be a quid pro quo at some point, and I'll get something else. But I'll just stand down, we'll let Andy Burnham just win that seat. There'll have to be a by-election, and Andy Burnham will win the seat. So that's what they did. That guy stood down. But then the Labour Party, obviously Keir doesn't want a leadership contest against Andy Burnham, probably lose. So we just blocked him from ever being selected. But the by-election's already been triggered in a really, really safe Labour seat. Well, we'll get someone, all right, it was all a bit of a shot in the dark. Andy Burnham was thwarted before he could even really get the thing going. We'll just have to swap out that Labour MP for another Labour MP in that super safe Labour seat. Oops, no, the Green Party won it. They became third, didn't they? Or even fourth. Reform came second, didn't they? Matt Goodwin. Disgusting uni-party shill, Matt Goodwin, came second, didn't he? So that didn't work out very well for Labour, did it? How embarrassing from Labour's point of view all of that was. Super, super safe seat. Trying to contrive things to get Burnham in. Oops, the Greens won it. The Greens. If only Mr. Goodwin and Reform had appealed to the natives of Gaunton and Denton rather than the Sikh community, for example. If only they'd actually said based things that were patriotic and nativist, probably would have won it. But no. There you go, the full Sivnat route, because they're moral cowards, weaklings. Oh, one more green MP. Brilliant. All right, the PM is isolated and divisions in cabinet. People like Ed Miliband, Yvette Cooper, David Lammy, one or two others have said, I don't necessarily stand behind exactly everything the Prime Minister's saying and doing right now. They're all lining up. Will they try and get Burnham in? I mean, it's too difficult. Someone else, another Labour MP, would have to resign, step aside, trigger another by-election, and then Burnham win it. There's not enough time for all of that, is there? Well, and Starmer and the inner sanctum of Labour power have to select him as well. So could it be? This is such a long shot. This seems like such a crazy long shot to me. But after May the 7th, there's a leadership contest or a vote of no confidence. Starmer is removed. There's then an interim leader, I guess David Lammy, because he's the Deputy Prime Minister, isn't he? Lammy is my Kang in the comments. He'll be happy. We get a brief period of David Lammy is interim Prime Minister. During that interim, some other Labour MP somewhere steps down. The Lammy-led government selects Andy Burnham. Andy Burnham stands, wins, is then an MP. Then they have the new leadership contest in the Labour Party, and Burnham wins it. And then you've got Burnham as Prime Minister and leader of the Labour Party. And then what? And then the Labour Party think they'll then win at the next election? Almost certainly not anyway, right? Like, the country loves Andy Burnham, like he's a new Tony Blair, like he can't fail to win at a general election. No, Andy Burnham's also a weirdo freak lefty, full-blown champagne socialist. A gross person, a horrible, horrible, weird person. Dirty, filthy, crypto-communist, Fabian Society type, wolf in sheep's clothing. Gross Andy Burnham. Just because he comes across as reasonable, right? The way like David Cameron or something would come across as just reasonable, someone you could sit down and just have a conversation with. Don't be fooled. His politics aren't mad. Further to the left than Keir Starmer. Everyone accepts that. Further to the left. Just more open borders. More childlike economics. Speedrunning us to the edge of a cliff. Off the edge of a cliff. Just more safe and legal routes. All that. All the same stuff. Andy Burnham. Yep. What else have we got? Doubts over peace talks as Iran seizes two ships. Yeah, remember Mr. Trump says we'll just have an indefinite ceasefire now. I did draw that line in the sand where I kept saying I'd blow up all your bridges and power plants. You didn't blink, so now I'm just going to have an indefinite ceasefire. Okay. And Iran seizes two ships in the Straits of Hormuz yesterday. If you work for the Wall Street Journal and you write an article calling Trump a sucker, but the Iranians think he's a sucker, treating him like a sucker, then Trump himself will post about it and get all butthurt. Maybe because that jibe hit home. Don't threaten to blow people up and kill them and annihilate them and maim them a bunch of times unless they do something. And then when they don't do that thing, you then don't blow them up and kill them and maim them. You see? All right. The Times, the venerable Times. France must reduce migrant crossings to earn share of £110 million. They're not going to. This is all in the news today. Apparently the Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmoud, has struck some sort of deal with the French, another deal. Give the French some, like, £660 million more pounds. So the French police will stop the small boats from the French side. We've already done that, haven't we? We've been playing that game for a few years now, haven't we? We've already given them something like £400 or £500 million over the last few years to pay for hundreds of French police. 600-700 specialised French police. And they just don't do it, do they? Every now and again, for performative reasons, they'll stop one of these small boats, one of these dinghies, but mostly they don't do anything at all. Literally nothing at all. Literally nothing. Quite often we'll just stand there on the beach just watching these migrant boats leave the French beach. But now we've signed another 3-year deal. £660 million over 3 years. Well, apparently it's going to pay for a bunch of drones and a couple of helicopters and another 50 or 100 odd, 80 odd more French police to do nothing. Shabana Mahmoud says something like, we'll give them a year. It's a 3-year deal, but after 1 year, we'll review it. We'll have a look, see what's happening after a year. Oh, great. Oh, just another year where another 40 or 50,000 invaders invade our country. Meanwhile, any given day, they could put 4-2 commando in the channel and stop the boats in one day. You know, it's the one day, you know, when they actually did something. But no, they won't do that. That would take some backbone. That would take acting in our interest, wouldn't it? And they don't do that. They refuse to do that. That's the one thing they won't do. Actually try and protect us. Couldn't possibly do that. Couldn't possibly do something that's like in the intro, like nativist. Patriotic. No, just be invaded by more and more young fighting age foreign fifth columnist invaders whose rate of crime per capita, including some of the worst violent crime and sex crime, is through the roof. Because it's what they want. There's no other way to view it now. Surely they want it, otherwise they would stop it. They can stop it, and they don't. All right. Suella Braverman tried really hard. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. It was only Rishi in the civil service that blocked Suella Braverman from doing anything. No. PM should face sleaze inquiry over Mandelson. Starmer under pressure from ministers and MPs. Okay, we got it. There's Anne Hathaway, beautiful Anne Hathaway. There's some new film, isn't there? What, Devil Wears Prada 2? Really? They're returning to that one? I was forced by a girlfriend at the time, years and years ago. What is it, 10, 15 years ago? 20 years ago? I don't know. When the first Devil Wears Prada film came out, I was sort of coerced into sitting down and watching that at some point. A ridiculous film. A terrible, terrible film. So unbelievably, unbelievably vacuous and shallow. A disgusting film, in my opinion. Pretty disgusting. Devil Wears Prada speaks volumes about the malaise of our age. I.e. that fashion matters. The general point that what you wear is a big chunk of who you are and stuff. That it really matters. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Anne Hathaway is gorgeous, though, isn't she? I think so. Even now. All right. The Independent. What have we got here? This is the Straits of Hormuz. This is a US serviceman, whether it's a marine or just a sailor, I don't know. Watching Iranian shipping. Straits of Hormuz. All right. PM fired Robbins before he could defend himself. As Starmer fights for survival, sacked civil servants supporters, the sacked civil servants supporters, demolish claim he was dismissed after failing to explain why he didn't raise alarm about Mandelson and the assist he was given no chance to save his job. So just another divergent point between the story, the narrative coming out from the government, number 10, and Whitehall, the civil service. That apparently, when was it last week? The beginning of last week? Was it Tuesday last week? Sir Ollie was called to number 10 to explain himself, and before he even could, he was just sort of immediately fired. It's all a bit he said, she said, isn't it? Again, I think it's a little bit of sleight of hand. Don't really care about that. Don't really care about that. I think I'll focus on the main thing here. Why was Mandelson given that job? Don't really care about, particularly, about Ollie Robbins. What he did or didn't tell the Prime Minister when. That's not the most important thing here, is it? Why was Mandelson installed into that role? Why did Keir Starmer, why did he so insist on it so hard? Why? Who was putting pressure on him to do that? And why? It's like the Epstein thing itself. Oh, like all the misdirection of it. Oh, there's, he's got his ranch in New Mexico and there may be something about that. And oh, look at like this building on Little St. James and this interaction he had with Lutnick one time or something. It's like, no. Who was controlling him? Who were his handlers? Who were his intelligence service handlers? And what was their plan? Oh, Epstein attended a party one time and like Trump was there and Elon might have been there. Elon sent an email once to, you know, That doesn't matter. That's not the salient thing here. Who were Epstein's handlers and what ultimately was their plan and why? A lot of it is just massive misdirection, isn't it? Talk about anything other than the main thing. The main thing. Right. Okay. Les Wexner. I mean, it's Les Wexner, isn't it? And Ehud Barak, isn't it? That's what it is. Okay. Streeting allies now open to Rayner pact with cabinet losing confidence in PM. Yeah, but Angela the Fridge Rayner, though, is still under investigation by His Majesty's Revenue and Customs for not paying her some sort of one of her taxes properly. What was it? Stamp duty or something? Or some sort of housing tax. She tried to cheat her way through that and is still under investigation from that and surely can't really be Prime Minister or leader of a party until all that's finished. So Wes looking a bit fat, isn't he? Jeez, easy on the pies, mate. You've got no neck anymore. Where's your chin gone, bro? Toad of Toad Hall there, isn't it? All right. Cabinet losing confidence in PM. Sir Keir Starmer's own cabinet are losing confidence in his leadership following Mandelson's security fiasco. Cabinet minister tells the Eye paper that they have lost patience with the Prime Minister and insists the entire cabinet would need to move collectively to depose him. Bleak. This is a quote from somebody in cabinet, an unnamed cabinet member. Bleak. We need to come to a view. I know what mine is. Pension Secretary and London Mayor call for calm. So they can't, yeah. Because Starmer has still got his loyalists, complete loyalists. The Pension Secretary, what was the guy's name? I can't remember, he was on the TV the other day. They actually quite often win him out. Was it, is that Pat something? I can't remember. And Sadiq Khan, they're sort of loyalists because Keir Starmer is 100% behind like the concept of Islamophobia. That any criticism of Islam is just insane and essentially criminal. It's all but criminal. Of course, Sadiq Khan loves that. So he'll back him up forever till the last possible moment. Allies of Health Secretary Wes Streeting are open to a pact with ex-deputy PM Angela Rayner in an attempt to unite centre and left and avoid bloody leadership contest. Because if they all agree on one, you don't have to have a full-blown contest, right? Like the way Gordon Brown. When Gordon Brown took over from Blair, there was no need for this like, election thing that lasts weeks. Like when Ed Miliband became the leader of the Labour Party. There's weeks of campaigning between the four or five different candidates and all the unions have to vote on it and all the members have to vote on it and all the parliamentary party have to vote on it and there's a whole thing. Or they can just pick one, like a coronation. That's what happened to, it's not truly a coronation, of course, but colloquially speaking, in inverted commas, a coronation. That's what happened with Gordon Brown. The parliamentary party was sort of unanimous, it's Brown. So we don't have to go through the rigmarole of a contest. It is better for them, isn't it? For the Labour Party to do that. Whether they could all unite around Big Bird. Grandmother Angela Rayner and her stupid shoes. You ever seen her shoes? No, it's a bit weak sauce from me to talk about that, but she often wears stupid shoes, like weird trainers that are like in bad taste if you was a 12-year-old. Okay, Angela Rayner, Prime Minister Rayner, globetrotting, going to the White House for like state dinners as the leader of Great Britain. Oh, what an embarrassment. All right. Obstacles to any deal include ideological differences, HM Revenue and Customs investigation into Rayner. Yeah, bit of a stumbling block, that, is it? And bad blood after he helped to deselect her partner, formerly an MP. Awkward. Cabinet Office Chief and the PM's ex-Chief of Staff are summoned to Parliament to give evidence to MPs. It's that Matt Doyle, now the Lord Doyle. And the old Cabinet Office chief, was it, what was his name? Wormald. Was it Chris Wormald? Is that right? Right. Oh, it's 22 already. That went quick. I thought I was only about 15 minutes in and 40 minutes in. All right, let's have a look. What else we got? The Daily Telegraph, the Telegraph. Oh, God, God, this is sickening. Hermer pursued witch hunt against troops despite warnings. Lord Hermer there. A cuckoo in the nest. An absolute traitor. The worst of the worst. Trying to persecute our soldiers. Oppress our soldiers. Who didn't really do anything wrong. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Loads of the SAS have quit. Because they're being hounded. By the law. For doing their job. What you get, loads, after we've been in a war, whether it be Iraq and Afghanistan earlier in the century, or Syria, like the SAS operating in Syria on and off for years, right? After that happens, they'll find people that just lie about it, just claim, oh, some British soldiers, whether SAS or not, some British soldiers came to our village and murdered loads of people here. Complete liars, just making it up, just making it up. And then our lawyers will spend millions of pounds and years trying to prosecute our soldiers for murder and things. Yeah. Yeah. Anything that undermines our society and our country. That's what Labour is. That's what socialism is. Anything that undermines the homogeneity and any sort of collective strength always has to be undermined and attacked. That's leftism, yeah. So in this one example, soldiers in Iraq, I think, it was just lied about that they'd done war crimes and things. Look, Attorney General Lord Hermer ignored concerns that Iraqi war crime allegations were false as he worked on case against soldiers. That's nice, isn't it? Our own lawyers actively working to try and convict our soldiers of murder and things when they didn't do it, when it's false, based on a lie. There you go, there's a little excerpt from emails. This guy, Martin Day, to Richard Hermer. At the end of the inquiry, there was this big inquiry, like a 10-year-long inquiry into whether our soldiers did murders in Iraq. After the end of that, an email sent to him says, at the end of the inquiry, it seems to me odds unlikely we are going to get a judgment that the claims that our soldiers murdered Iraqis for no reason, that those claims are nonsense and that this was a group of Iraqis on the make, politically or financially motivated. Which is, in fact, what happened, yeah. The inquiry, this one particular inquiry, found it was complete lies. The Iraqi people found a sympathetic ear in someone like Lord Hermer, Richard Hermer, and just made up stuff. Okay, 10 years of our soldiers being persecuted, living under a pall of being a murderer, and going to prison for that if they were found guilty, of course. And then Richard Hermer replies to that guy, saying, it's all made up, it's just Iraqis on the make, lying. He said, I think the line to fill works in making sure that the big story is out there. Just a general impression that British soldiers are evil murderers. Oh, it doesn't really matter that it was all lies by Iraqis. We've got the big story out there. We've managed to give the general impression of a smear. That's the main thing. Whilst giving us some wiggle room if the killings did not in fact happen. Some wiggle room. I mean, could you be more sort of treasonous, traitorous? Could you be sort of... Why are you actively working to undermine us like this? Meanwhile, years later, Starmer gets in. He's the Attorney General. He's the guy. Lord Hermer. And while you're at it, Lord Herman, you couldn't work to sort of give away some of our foreign overseas territories as cheaply and easily as possible, could you? Could you do that? Try and give away the Chagos Islands of strategic importance. Yeah? That's on your docket now, bro. Go to it. Lord Herman. Okay. It's over. Cabinet turns on Starmer over Mandelson scandal. Okay. The Financial Times. Iran seizes two ships in show of force as bid to revive peace talks founders. Yeah, there won't be peace talks. Iran, again, aren't sending any sort of delegation or anything. They're not interested in peace talks. They've told the Americans what their position is, which is we won't give up our sovereign right to enrich uranium. There you go, White House. There you go, State Department. Take it or leave it. There you go. Bomb us back to the Stone Age then, if that's what you're going to do. That's Iran's position. Your move. No, we're not going to give up our right to enrich uranium. I mean, I think he's mad. Don't get me wrong from me saying that. Like I'm on their side. I'm not. Islamic theocracy, oppressive Islamic theocracies that insist on the right to enrich uranium to weapons grade. Yeah, I'm not on side with that. They're mad. They're mad. Disgusting and mad. But that's their position. So what's Trump and Hegseth and Rubio going to do? The ball is in their court. What are they going to do about it? There was talk, haven't there? There's been talk for a while, for weeks, in fact, that the idea of the US doing a giant special forces raid deep into Iran, like at Isfahan and stuff, deep in Iran, send hundreds and hundreds of special forces operators and engineers and even civilian nuclear experts around the sites where this now buried enriched uranium is, create a perimeter, like maybe use the airborne, like big chunks of the Marine Corps, create a perimeter around these sites, like Natanz or wherever it is, and then for days and days and days, probably, perhaps even weeks, use like all sorts of heavy equipment, bulldozers and everything that's required to dig out the uranium, which is only buried because of Operation Midnight Hammer, remember? But it's buried at the moment, apparently, that's the story. Dig it out, get it, bug out and fly away. Probably the biggest special forces set of raids ever to grab Iran's nuclear material. I mean, whether that will happen or not, I don't know. I suspect not. I don't know. There's been all sorts of talk of it, hasn't there? But whether Trump will do that? I don't know, that could end in a bloodbath, couldn't it? For the Americans, like they could lose loads and loads and loads of guys. Maybe not. Might work perfectly. Maybe the IRGC, the actual Iranian army, if you like, are on their last legs. And, you know, in a one-on-one firefight, they don't stand a chance against, like, a member of SEAL Team 6, do they? One-on-one. Not even close. The Americans are much, 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 much more highly trained, with the best possible equipment. But what if the Iranians send in 10,000 guys against, you know, like 500 or something? Might eventually overrun them, and then the Americans lose loads of surface personnel, like the most soldiers they've lost since Iraq or something. It would be a risk. It would be a risky thing, wouldn't it? Right. Okay, it's gone 1:45. It's nearly 10:50. What else have we got? The Mirror. Oh, look, Paul McCartney and Ringo. Ringo. Paul and Ringo. Hey, dudes. They're going to record together again. Any Zoomers? Who's Paul and Ringo? Should I test it? Harry, do you know who Paul and Ringo are?
Ringo's that,
lizard from that movie, isn't he?
that's Ringo Starr from the Beatles. And Paul McCartney from the Beatles. But I don't blame you. I don't blame you. You're 20 years old. Why would you necessarily know about that? Interesting, though. An interesting litmus test to ask Harry about what he does or doesn't know about something, whether you've heard of something. I mean, I don't blame you. The Beatles haven't released a single since, what, the late 60s. So I'm not having a pop at you. Far from it. Far from it. He also did the voice for Thomas the Tank Engine, didn't he, Ringo Starr? The Fat Controller. Okay, all right. Amanda Knox. Foxy Noxie is doing research into Lucy Letby. There you go. The Metro. Ugh. Workshire Brits, not this pair. And they found a nurse who's 80 years old who's still working as a nurse. But you had to retire when you get that old. Just a nonsense story. Lewis Hamilton and Kim Kardashian having a bit of a kiss and a cuddle in the sea. Big news. Big news. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brits facing mobile signal rationing as energy costs soar over Iran conflict. Phony war. A phone? But it's also a phony war. I don't even really believe that. Anyway, I don't believe that. Okay. This woman wants to end her life. Very, 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 very sad story. She had a child. The child accidentally died in some accident. And now, even though she's perfectly physically fit and mentally well, other than being very, very sad, because of the death of her only child, of course, she's going to go to Switzerland and end her life. Thanks, the Mail. Thanks for that. Putting that on my front page. Bringing that to my attention. You can imagine at the Daily Mail. What's the blackest black pill? Sort of completely unnecessary thing just to sort of ruin anyone's mood. Oh, I know. A perfectly healthy mother who's grieving so hard for the death of her only child she can't live anymore. Front page. Print. Go. Out of anything. You can report anything. The reason they could put anything in the world on their front page. A mother whose grief is so extreme she needs to kill herself. Print. These scumbags. The Daily Mail is gross. The Mail Group. Gross. Pretending they're not utter slop. The Express. It's a good paper. Here's another 660 million to stop the boats. They won't. They won't do anything. That's just money. Good money thrown after bad. And then that's what the exercise of being a Home Secretary is now in regards to the small boats. Just waste time and money and pretend you're doing stuff. Like Breverman. Oh, we're doing stuff. We're trying to do stuff. Oh, it's the courts preventing us from doing it. Oh, it's the civil service from preventing us from doing it. It's the Prime Minister himself. Oh, it's the French not pulling their weight. Da, 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 da. The Star, FIFA World Cup latest. It's a brand new VAR. Was that virtual assistant, isn't it? The virtual assistant ref. Video replays. In football, to see if something was or wasn't offside, or whether the ball did or didn't cross the line, etc. VAR. It's brand new VAR. Okay, they're in the front pages. All right, they're in the front pages. Let's move on. Let's move on. We did a poll today, didn't we, Harry? What was our poll? We put... Let me do this so I can see. Do you celebrate St. George's Day? 49% of you say yes. 36% of you say no. 15% of you say sometimes. Well, if you're American or if you're from one of those countries where you don't have St. George, or not that you don't have him, that you're not your patron saint. I suppose if you're Welsh or Irish or Scottish, you wouldn't. It would be St. Andrew or St. Patrick instead, wouldn't it? St. David. I hope that's a reflection that only like half the audience are actually English. English. What's America's patron saint? Has the United States got one? I don't know. Harry, can you Google that? What is there, or who is the patron saint of the United States? I wonder if there is one. St. Ronald McDonald. Just lost a load of US fans there. Don't go. I'm joking. I'm mucking about. Come on. Don't leave me. I still love you. We can make this work.
Apparently, it's the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Okay, quite a Catholic one. I'm seeing the chat here. Fauci, Dr. St. Homer Simpson. St. Netanyahu. Uncle Sam, that's a good one. How about that? St. Uncle Sam. I like that. Remember, I'm an Anglo-American. Don't get butthurt if you're out there Americans. I'm an Anglo-American. My father was born and raised in Oregon. I've got tons and tons of cousins and uncles in the United States. I'm on your side. Calm down. St. Colonel Sanders. All right, we'll stop that now. We'll move on. All right. Okay. It's actually 5-2. Should we just go straight to On This Day in History? Just go straight to that. I like doing that. On This Day in History, no mention of St. George. Website's a bit lefty. I think it is a bit lefty. Now, there's more than one website that does this. So maybe I'll change at some point soon to one of the other ones. This one does seem... It's all right, isn't it? It's not too bad. But it's obviously got some sort of wokest, leftist bent to it, isn't it? Okay. On this day, on the 23rd of April, down through the centuries, what happened of note? Okay, what have we got here? In the year 215 BC, a temple dedicated to Venus is built on the Capitoline Hill to commemorate the Roman defeat at Lake Trasimene. Lake Trasimene. One of Hannibal of Carthage's greatest victories. One of them. Cannae is the main one, isn't it? But Lake Trasimene was a big one. His first big one, right? Up in the mountains at Lake Trasimene. Up in the mountains, frozen, made the Romans wade through a frozen river before they'd had breakfast. Whilst all his men were nice and warm and had had breakfast. And he smashed the Romans up, good style. Hannibal. Harry. What do you reckon that on my own channel, History Bro, and on my history-themed channel, Epochs, behind the paywall on LotusEaters.com, considering signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership, do you think I've got hour upon hour upon hour of talking about the age of the Scipios and Hannibal and the Second Punic War? You bet your sweet ass I have. Oh, yeah. Oh, in fact, I don't know, can you go to Disdain Cam 1 for a moment, Harry? Look, you see that there? Look, there's another bit there. That's a thumbnail from my channel History Bro. Where that's me and Carl Benjamin. You know Carl Benjamin? You know Carl Benjamin, don't you? That Sargon of Akkad fella. There's like 5 hours of me and Carl. I'm not exaggerating, I'm not joking. 5 hours of me and Carl talking about the campaigns of Hannibal. Just on History Bro, that is. That's just on History Bro. Not including on Epochs. That's not even counting Epochs, where I'll talk about it all again. If you're interested, it's there. The History Bro stuff is entirely free. Entirely free. No paywall there. All right. On this day, in 1014, King Brian Boru of Ireland defeats Viking forces at the Battle of Clontarf, freeing Ireland from foreign control, well, for a while. for a while. But there's a painting. There's a painting on the back of Clontarf. On this day, in 1597, William Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor is first performed with Queen Elizabeth I of England in attendance. Now, scholars and historians talk a fair bit about the life of William Shakespeare. There's a little bit of controversy and argument about him. What we do or do not know about him for sure. You know, a lot of people say that all those plays and poems attributed to William Shakespeare can't possibly be one person. That William Shakespeare may well have been someone else entirely. All that sort of stuff. Well, we do know there was certainly a William Shakespeare from Stratford-upon-Avon who came to London and was a playwright. Whether every single thing that's attributed to him is perhaps something else. But on Epoch, wasn't even that long ago, Harry. Wasn't even that long ago, I think it was at the beginning of this year, I did a long-form bit of content, like an hour and a half, was it? 2 hours even? All about the life of Shakespeare, the true history, what we do and do not know. And unfortunately, the historical record is kind of scant on him. We haven't got loads and loads of details of exactly where he went and when. But there's no doubt that he was a real historical figure, though. One of the things that is well documented, one of the various data points in his life that is very well documented, is that. Is one time when he was already famous as a playwright in London, the Queen herself had heard of him and liked him. He was the most famous playwright living at the time, basically. And she said, I want him to write something and then come and perform it for me at my in my court. And he did, and that's that. And she said it said that she loved it. So that's one of those things that you can pinpoint and say, well, that is definitely true. Lots of other things are a bit rumour and conjecture about William Shakespeare, but that is sort of firm moment in history. There you go. On this day in 1861, Robert E. Lee is named commander of Virginia's Confederate forces during the US Civil War. He came very close to joining the Union. In fact, when the war broke out, Robert E. Lee was Mr. Lincoln's first choice to lead the Army of the Potomac. He wanted him to lead the Army of the Union. And Robert E. Lee couldn't make up his mind for a while, like a day or so. He was like completely conflicted. Shall I fight for my... Because people thought of them as your state, as your country back then, various ways. It's like you was a Virginiaman first, and then you was a citizen of the United States. But my country is Virginia. Funny, isn't it? People don't really think like that anymore, do they? But back then they did, very often. Not always, but often. In the generation before, in the Revolutionary War, it's like I'm a Massachusetts man first. First and foremost, that's my country, Massachusetts. And then I'm a member of the United States, extra to that. Anyway, by the second half of the 19th century, that view was less common. But that's what Robert E. Lee thought. That's the conclusion he came to. He's like, shall I fight for the United States or my country, Virginia? In the end, it was a close run thing. In the end, he chose Virginia and the Confederacy. What's the betting? I've got loads of content about the Civil War. American Civil War. Hours and hours and hours from various different angles about various things. Oh yeah. It's all there. It's all there. My first video ever on History Bro was about the American Civil War. Fascinated by it. Always have been. Alright. On this day in 1968, first decimal coins issued in Britain. The 5 and 10 new pence piece coin. Replacing the shilling and 2 shilling pieces. Yeah, I never really got my mind around the old money. When I've had it explained to me like 10 times how much like 5 bob was and crowns and shillings. I've had it explained to me a number of times. I've read about it more than once. And even to this day, I don't quite get it. Probably should. Okay, on this day in 1984, the AIDS virus is identified. All right, okay. Don't care about that, really. All right, so we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Let me do this so I can see my screen. Pardon me. Right, Rumble Rants first, as always. Rumble Rants first. Who do you reckon's in at number one? Who do you reckon was first? Global church history. Still at number one. Reigning, defended, undisputed. Global church history says, on St. George's Day in 1348, the Order of the Garter was founded. Nice, yeah. That's what well, that'll be. That's Edward III, isn't it? Edward III. Is it after Cressy? Was it the Battle of Tours? Anyway, after one of those big wins against the French. The Order of the Garter, the highest level of knighthood you can get to this day. There's a few different levels of knighthood. If you think you're Sir something, there's different types of knighthood, like just the normal K, just a knight. They've got like things that are higher, like the Order of the Bath. Anyway, the Order of the Garter is the highest one. Like to this day, only a few people in it. Senior, very, very, very senior members of the royal family, like Tony Blair's got it. You know? And a few, just a handful of people. What is it, like less than a dozen? I've got the Order of the Garter. I don't know. I really don't know, but it's not that many. They hardly ever give it out. And yeah, Edward III started that. Gave it to his own son, the Black Prince. For services rendered at Crecy. Or was it Poitiers, the Battle of Poitiers? Battle of Tours, Poitiers is the same thing, by the way. Anyway. To this day, one of the highest possible things you could be given in Rudyard Kipling's The Man Who Would Be... Rudyard Kipling's The Man Who Would Be King. He has it that some of his characters think the highest thing you could ever attain would be to be the Viceroy of India and get the Order of the Garter. And there's nothing higher than doing that. That's the highest possible achievement in the world. There you go. Okay, so on this day, that was started in 1348. All right, you used to say, in 1661, Charles II was crowned in Westminster Abbey. So the restoration of the monarchy, Charles II, after his father had his head lopped off. In the interregnum of Oliver Cromwell. Very, very, very brief thing of Richard Cromwell, Queen Dick. And then General Monk, an army man, General Monk. He's sort of in control, in de facto, for a while, I suppose. They're like, we really need a king, though. In lieu of someone very, very, very strong, like Oliver Cromwell, we're going to need a king back. There is Charles II, like in France. We could just get him back after everything. After a generation of civil war, effectively. Just restore the monarchy again. That's what they did. And on this day in 1661, he comes back. There you go. All right. Global church history finally says, and on this day in 2005, the first YouTube video, Me at the Zoo, was published. Okay, I didn't know that. That's interesting. I wonder if it's still on YouTube. I probably will check that out, just purely out of curiosity. After this show, go back into the office. Just over there. Just off screen. In another room, but just there. Me at the Zoo. I wonder if it's still there. All right. Okay, Fortean Barber says, Happy St. George's Day! Exclamation mark. Thank you, sir. You too. Happy St. George's Day. The left argument against St. George makes no sense. Yeah. I wish it was an English holiday. Full English breakfast next, then fish and chips later on. England expects. Come on. Yeah, nice. I had a fry-up this morning. I told you I fairly rarely have breakfast. But this morning, I had a full bloody fry up. Bacon, beans, tomatoes, mash, mushroom. What was it? What else was there? Egg, fried egg. No sausages. But yeah. Love a fry up meat. Fish and chips later. Why not? Why not? Good idea. All right. That was the only Rumble Rants we had today. But we've got Super Chats. We've got a fair few YouTube Super Chats. Oh, another one just came in from Rumble Rants. I'll read it. Well, it literally just appeared that moment. From JC Warlock. Says, St. George. Like the same George that has the castle in Scotland that looks like a dragon's head. The Loch Ness Monster. All right. You're the guy that talks about that. I mean, St. George is revered, venerated all around the world. Loads and loads. If you go on Wikipedia and look at all the different countries and places and organisations and things that use the St. George's cross or the memory of St. George in various ways, loads. Loads. Loads and loads and loads and loads. Not just England. Georgia, the country of Georgia, for example. Loads. It's a classic martyr. The early Christian martyrs. It was often the Romans. You must renounce your monotheistic faith, otherwise we will kill you. And they say, no, kill me then. Do it then. I'd much rather be a martyr. Okay. Daniel D. King says, St. George's Day to all the Lotus Eaters team. Thank you. Thank you. Cheers. Joseph Delanogarad, sorry if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, doesn't say anything and just gives a little bit of money, so I appreciate that. Aristotle Luton says, happy St. George's Day, Bo and the Lotus Eaters. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Zero Herman the Tosser, or O Herman the Tosser, says, you've all been kind and friendly to the man with the beard. Will you be entering the Best Beard Competition 2026? What did you do with Big Chungus? I'm not entering any sort of beard competition. It's not a terrible beard, but it's no Lewis Brackpool, is it? Seen Lewis Brackpool's beard? That's a beard. That's a proper beard, that one. Can't fault it. Immaculate. Mine's all right. But it's not going to win any competitions, is it? I should actually do more too. I very rarely, like, properly... I prefer sort of more, a little bit of a more wild man element to it. A little bit more Uncle Albert than George V. Lewis Brackpool's beard. George V on point. Tsar Nicholas II, all the way down to the last detail. I let this just go a bit. It's not going to win any competitions, is it? Okay. Thanks, though. Nice of you to say. The figure 13. Ben Robert Smith in Australia. Oh, that's the Victoria Cross winner, the Australian SAS dude that won a Victoria Cross, the highest award for gallantry in the face of the enemy. And they're trying to put him on trial for murder. Ben Robert Smith in Australia is also being falsely accused of war crimes in Afghanistan. Seems a coordinated attack against special forces. Yeah, because they're trying to undermine everything that we are, including our ability to defend ourselves. That's leftism. That's socialism. That's communism. They can't have strong, brave, powerful men like special forces operators. Or what? Some insanely brave and strong Australian super Chad, quite literally a super Chad. Right, we'll laser-like focus on him and destroy him. Ruin his reputation and life. Put him in prison if we can. Yeah, oh yeah, classic. Of course. Yeah, of course. Of course, they're scum, aren't they? It's the politics of resentment, weakness and resentment is leftism. They see someone else that's strong and successful and noble. Must rip it down. Must rip it down. Cavity Taster says, this Harry chap is highly uncultured. I'm a Zoomer and get 70% of your references. Oh, shots fired, Harry. I think he's talking about you.
I am pretty uncultured. Well, to be fair.
Shots fired. Okay. Sometimes my references are pretty obscure. You would have to be British and at least 40 years old. I try to keep those to a minimum, because that's relatively niche, isn't it? I suspect there's a decent chunk of the audience of the Bow Show that are that, but probably the majority aren't. But no, that's cool. If you're a Zoomer and you get most of them, good. Good. Okay. IXZOYT. Surely there's no other way to read that than just the letters. IXZOYT says, hi, Bo. Great breakfast show as usual. Thank you. Exclamation mark. Cheers. Appreciate that. Just wanted to point out that the Beatles actually released their last single in 2023, titled Now and Then. Anyway, hope you're doing well. Thank you. Thank you for the super chat. I mean, fair enough. It would have been recorded. Surely it was. Well, I don't know. I was vaguely aware of that, but wasn't it like a really old recording? Like, they've got old recordings of like Tupac or Elvis. They were originally recorded back in the day. Is that not the case for that one? Anyway, fair point. All right. And the last one, is it? The last one today? Yeah. Azzy0161 says, happy St. George's Day, old boy. And then a St. George's Day flag emoji. Brilliant. Lovely. Brilliant. Lovely. Thank you. You too. Have a great St. George's Day. All right, that's the show. It's now 16 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Thursday, the 23rd of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. The feast day of St. George. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Really, really appreciate it. Without you, it's not a thing. Without you, it's just me chatting nonsense into the void, isn't it? So thank you. Thank you very much. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. I know it's not always easy. Sometimes you've got to spend the day doing boring chores and just working because you've got no other choice. But if you can, Carpe Diem, seize the day. Try and do something valuable with your time. It's the most valuable thing you've got, your time. By a long, long, long way. All right. Until tomorrow morning then. Take care.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.